Yeah. Look at that.
This is Canadian Tire Money. This is so interesting for people who are listening.
What is it?
This is Canadian Tire Money, and they gave back in the day. With your change, you would get Canadian Tire money as well, which is literally money which is good for use at our store called Canadian Tire.
It's like Disney dollars.
It is. And not to be confused, the name Canadian Tire, it's kind of like our version. It's kind of like a Walmart or a Target.
Yeah.
They have a vast array of things, including lots of tires in case you didn't need them. And this was something that they've done for years, actually since the 60s.
Wow.
It's a bit of a piece of Canadiana. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's a little stack of... And the best thing is they're just small bills. 5 cents, or the big ones were 50 cents, or I think you could
like
find some.
So like coupons. There's no expiration date.
No exploration. There's a $2. Look at that. That's
damn.
A collector item.
It's got the queen on it, huh?
Yeah.
I see. I thought it was the queen. It's supposed to look kind of like the queen with a mustache.
I don't know. Is
or
that
maybe
the,
that's the...
It's the CEO or something of the company. I don't think that's what
have
the
they,
CEO...
Have they switched your money over yet, or does it still have the queen on it?
It still has the queen.
Are they
gonna
put
I think it'll have the queen for quite a while.
Are they going to put Charles on there eventually? Is that the plan?
I don't know. How often do they update money?
I don't know.
We recently just had the plastic update. So we have holograms and other, fancy things on our money.
Oh, right.
And there's, the $20 has the queen still on it. So I think she's probably solidified for the next 10 years or so. On our money, at least.
Cash to me seems so antiquated. I never use cash, ever. I don't ever have cash for anything.
I always keep a folded $10 bill in my wallet. Just because on that random thing where it's like, hey, you got cash? Or if there's your parking or something like that.
Yeah.
But other than that, when's the last time you had... Or change in your little change
compartment. The change thing, yeah. I always love that when you go to a supermarket or something, there's a certain demographic age bracket that has to count out change. It's like a game with them to the exact, the closer they can get without going over, It's like, oh, please, you're holding up the whole line.
You can go to the bank and do that because that's where your change should be going. Can you stop with the change? We did stop the penny, though. You guys stopped the penny, too, right?
I don't know. Maybe. I think so. They should have stopped it years ago. I know it cost them twice as much to make a penny than it was worth, so I don't know.
Silly.
Yeah. Who knows? I was thinking, we were texting each other the other day, and we had this thing we were coming up with, it was a whose line is it anyway bit of
oh, yes.
Things that YouTube gurus say that sound dirty, but aren't. So I was trying to come up with a few of these, and then I came up with this idea of what would be pickup lines from YouTube gurus. So I was thinking of one my long form content has an amazing retention rate. Or how about, would you click on this thumbnail? So what's your click-through rate, baby?
Oh, I like that. That's a good one, actually. I might use that.
Yeah. Oh, your face is pure clickbait. I like that one, too. See?
Oh, that's really
It's sweet.
Good. Does that mean she's locked in a screaming face with her hands?
Right, right. And then maybe one that wouldn't be so great. Hello. So how many returning visitors do you have?
Oh boy. Well, so there you go. Anybody listening can try those and then message the show and let us know that.
I had no idea how we got onto that thing, but it was kind of funny.
We just realized that, I think it was the short form, long form content.
Yeah. Oh, that's
right.
It's
like, hey, stop calling it short form content.
Stop. It's not short form content.
No one makes it past the first 8 seconds, anyways.
So I got a funny story to tell you about my cat. You want to hear a funny cat story?
I think that's what the internet was built on.
I'm going back to YouTube 101. We're going to talk about cats.
Cats.
So, we have two cats, Cobra and Bubbles, and they're 3 years old now, 3 or 4. And we have trained them, as you may know, during the lockdown, I was really big on training them. And so we used clicker training and treat reward training to teach them some tricks and to keep them in our backyard, which has a fence all the way around it. And so every time they would try to jump the fence, we would grab them and take them down. And then it was a combination of rewards and using that clicker. And the clicker really works on cats, and people don't they often don't understand that you can really train cats just as you can with dogs. So over time, we got to where the cats never leave the yard. We can let them out on a sunny day. They'll be out most of the day. They never leave the yard. They're perfectly safe in the yard. It's really kind of a neat thing. And our old cat was the same way. She would never stray away from the house because we'd trained her that way. So recently, we have this fence in our backyard that separates us from the houses that are below us. There's a street below us. It's a very sharp, steep hill with a big embankment of just like ground cover and ivy on their side that comes up. And it's been climbing for years, probably 50 years up on this fence. And the fence is like wooden posts with like that wire kind of mesh in between. Mm-hmm. I don't know what you call that. And so the whole fence is just like about to tip over. I'm thinking, this isn't good. This vine is like so thick. It's like 4 feet thick of all of this vine just pulling this fence down, and it's wobbly. And I'm thinking, this thing's gonna crash down. So I've spent a few weekends just cutting back that stuff, trying to remove it so that at least I can even see the fence itself and assess it and see if it needs to be replaced. So after removing all of this ivy, now you can actually see through this fence, which Cobra is very interested about because he's never been able to see through this fence. And so he's been spending a lot of time over there looking through it. We call it his fence window. He gets like a new thing he can look at. And it's like cat TV. He just sits there and watches nothing. You know, there's nothing to see except birds and the neighbors down below once in a while or something. But nothing happens. No big deal. I come out yesterday. I was coming out to my shop and I look and I see Cobra over there by the fence. I'm like, wait, it's not right. He's looking at me. And he was on the other side of the fence. And I'm thinking, what? How did this happen? So I'm going over to him. I'm like, Cobra, what are you doing over there? Come on over. So this fence is taller than I am. You know, it's over, so it's about my eye height. And I'm calling him. He's freaking out because I don't know how he got over there. But now he's like, meow, 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 help me. I'm totally domesticated. I have no idea what to do. I mean, the other cats in the neighborhood, you know, the strays, they're probably all like, they're just like looking at him like, you pussy. We go
look
through.
At you. literally a pussy.
We climb this stuff all the time. Look at you acting like a cat. So anyways, he's panicking. So I'm thinking, I don't know what to do. So I run in and I get my some wire snips and I cut a little hole in the wire and bend it down for him to jump through. And I'm reaching, come on, Cobra, come. What does he do? He walks away the wrong way. And I'm like, God, you dumb cat. So he walks over way over and keep in mind, there's this real steep hill filled with ground cover and ivy down below him. And he's like swimming through this stuff. You can't even hardly see him. And so I go down about another 12 feet to where he finally ends up. And I cut another hole out of this wire and then just bend it down. Come on, Cobra, come. He goes further down. I'm like, God damn it, you stupid cat. Why are you being... He's just making all the worst decisions there. And so then he just keeps he's panicking. He's just like, meow, meow. I've never heard him make this sound. And he finally jumps up on the vine, which is super thick and old at this point. It's almost like a grapevine or something. He gets halfway up the fence. I'm like, yay, Cobra, you can do it. And he can't figure it out. And he goes back down and then he goes the other way. And finally, I'm like, oh, damn it. I got to go over there and get him. And so thankfully, I've been working out for the past 10 years and I was able to like just basically muscle up on top of this thing, flip myself over, jump down on the other side. And he was up in a place where I could grab him. And then he, of course, latches onto something with his claws and wouldn't let go. So I have to like, I'm like, I'm trying to help you, you dummy. And finally I got him. I stretched up and reached him over the fence, handed him to my wife, and then he was rescued. And I guess the moral of this story is stay in shape because literally I don't think, and I told my trainer this because I had to go to the gym after this. I had my training session with him. I'm like, you won't believe I just rescued a small cat today. And it was because I'm working out. I don't think 20 years ago I would have been able to do that. I don't think 10 years ago I would have been able to do that, to be able to muscle myself up, jump over, and then to get back from the other side, which was even harder because of that slope down there, I was able to pull myself up and leap over the fence. But anyways, cats are so dumb sometimes. I just could not believe he was like making all of the wrong decisions of what to do in this situation. I'm like, this is why you're so dependent on us.
Did you have a long talk with him afterwards?
He was embarrassed.
Like, sit him down.
He was embarrassed. And the other cat, meanwhile, she was at the back door looking at him like, what's going on? Hey, what's happening out there?
People who have been around cats long enough can see when a cat's embarrassed. It's one of the funniest things ever when I see Molly or like, just like, whatever, just do something that's supposed to be graceful. And she just like does something completely awkward. And she just kind of looks around. And it's like, yeah, you're embarrassed, aren't you? Dare I say, I think you had no problem because you've been doing some rock climbing.
And
too.
The rock climbing
you
helps,
probably.
Yeah.
You probably saw that as just like a small...
It was like a good test. I wasn't sure if I could do that because, yeah, the fence, imagine a fence that comes up to eye level and there's no, it's like just wires. So you can't put your real feet against the fence. So it's literally just like whoop, push up and then push
right
all the way up and over.
So no, just running up to it and parkouring.
No, but I did. I felt like a badass. I'm like, I can rescue cats, damn it.
That's true. And how much of the vine did you manage to cut away at the end?
Well, we got most of it cut away, but now, and the fence just looks like, the fence must be 50 years old. So I think it needs to be replaced. And so I got to get a fence guy. I don't want to do it myself because I've seen these reviews of fence guys. I don't know if that's the actual profession name, but fence guy.
fence guy.
And they can do a fence like this in a day. And I'm like, oh, yeah, then that would be good because then we can just keep the cats inside and they can get it done. Because I'm sure it would take me, you know, three times as long to figure all that out.
What did you do with all the overgrowth? Do you have to put them in those bags and then put them out and there's a separate pickup for that?
We have these green bins, the yard waste bins. So we have two of those and they're full-size trash cans with lids basically, but they go special to the wherever they take the green waste. I think they make compost or mulch or something out of it.
You filled those bad boys out?
Oh, not only fill them up, we fill them up and then I have to stand on it and then just, again, it's good to stay in shape. To jump up and down on it, to compact it and then to get more in there. And so this was over the course of 3 weekends to have to do this.
May I say that staying in shape is probably one of the most important things that one can do in their life?
Yeah.
And everybody agrees to it. And I also realized recently, and I wanted to ask you, and I don't know if I've asked you this before, but do you have a skincare routine?
I do.
So random, I know, but.
I'm going to have like a beauty channel here pretty soon. No, it's pretty simple. I do. I think moisturizing is really important. I think that wearing sunscreen outdoors, whenever I'm outdoors, is extremely important. I think I always have sunscreen on. And so, yeah, I have twice a day, I put on a moisturizer, I have an eye cream, and then I have Retin-A. Retin-A is like a wrinkle thing. It's actually originally for acne, but you can use it for wrinkles, fine wrinkles. And so that's what I use.
So I went from a guy who would just wash his face in the shower to like, my gosh, now especially during the winters my skin really dries out.
Yeah.
And now that I'm actually getting a little bit older, I'm starting to see a little bit of just whatever, just the wrinkles that I guess you do kind of want to be like, is there a way to deal with those?
Yeah.
Without like surgery or a laser or something like that. So my wife introduced me to hyaluronic acid or something like that, which is a fantastic little serum, which I put on my face, on my T-zone. I learned about my T-zone.
Oh, see, I don't know what that is.
T-zone.
Oh, your
T-zone
eyebrows
is the,
down
yes,
through your nose.
And that's apparently where it's something. Vitamin C, needed to get vitamin C, and needed a moisturizer, but not just one moisturizer. I found out I needed two moisturizers. One regular moisturizer, which has good stuff like vitamin C and all of that other stuff. And then to your point of the sunscreen, a moisturizer with sunscreen.
Yeah.
And I never thought about that before. I would always be the guy who's like, if it's sunny, I'll put some sunscreen on. But Melissa got me started on every single day, just put like whether you're going out or
yeah,
not.
Yeah, if it's a moisturizer, you might as well put it on your face and then you're going to have it on there ready to go.
and you don't think about the exposure that you get to the sun just for like whatever, just the average amount of like, you don't need to be like out all day, quote unquote, to like, you know, really have the sun affect your skin. So just always having that moisturizer every single morning and having the sun protection, crazy important.
Yeah, it's funny because a lot of guys are kind of averse to any of this kind of skincare routine, or I don't know what it is about that, but, and I guess to a certain extent, I would have been that way many years ago. I was like, I don't need anything, just a bar of soap and I'm good. But there's, I think taking care of any of your body parts, and your skin is your biggest, is the largest
The largest organ?
The largest organ in your body. Well, maybe not my body.
Yay! We already did that bit, Steve.
Right. But yeah, I mean, why would you not take care of it the way you take care of, you know, an ankle or an injury or something like that? If you want to maintain good quality skin, you got to take care of it. And moisturizer, I think the moisturizer just, it feels good on my skin. Sometimes I can feel when my skin is dry and you can almost feel it absorbing. I like have to keep putting more and more of it on, you know, it just like soaks it in.
And it's funny how all of the or at least a large majority of the products are very much geared towards women in like the makeup kind of set, like the women's skincare section kind of like envelops all of that. And then there's like the, like a few people who are like, oh, this is the men's line of whatever. And it's always like this small little bumper at the end of the aisle with like four different SKUs. And like, we really do get the short end of the stick because there's this intimidation thinking like, oh, that's over there. So I guess I don't need to. And we were never taught that as men.
No.
It's like, hey, you should moisturize your skin every day.
Yeah, I know. It's like,
you
why
should,
is that?
You should go to the doctor. Why don't we go to the doctor?
Why is this become like, why at one point was that unmanly to take care of your skin? I don't know.
The wrinkles in the, right?
Culture
and
is so
rosacea
weird.
And like, but it's, I'm roughing it. You don't need to rough it with your skin. No. And I noticed, anyways, the whole reason why I bring this up is because I've been doing this now since the beginning. This was one of my New Year's kind of quasi resolutions that I started. And I love the feel of my skin now. You legit notice a
difference
between, for anybody listening who does nothing, to even just go to like a moisturizer, just like every morning rubbing a good moisturizer and whatnot, it's incredible. And the lack of itching your skin,
it feels good.
Dry skin,
use that. Use and if the fine lines are something you want to deal with, consider Retin A, isotretinoin, I think it's called, and it's been around for years and it's prescription. I go to a dermatologist every year because of the skin cancer I had. And this is really why I do so much of this, is because I don't want that melanoma again and have half of my ear removed again. And but that stuff works really well. I mean, you just put on a little tiny bit and over time you'll see your skin looking healthier and less wrinkles, and combine that with moisturizer, and there's our beauty tech tips for men.
Actually, I have one more.
Oh, good.
And it's my true MVP. So I've come across this skincare thing. I love it. A secret that I think I have is like, my MVP is the nose hair trimmer.
Oh, definitely. And ear.
Especially and ear. Older.
Well, might not be, you're 10 years younger than me, but I get ear hair, which is annoying and stupid.
For the past 10, it starts like late 30s. Honestly, it starts late 30s. At least it did
but
for me.
But you ever see these guys that have like tufts of hair coming out of their ears? I'm like, God, why don't you deal with that?
Looks like there's a cotton ball in there, because they're always gray, because you're at that point. So
they just
don't
give a shit.
Windy gray hairs, and they grow out the side of your neck and out of your ear, and your eyebrows get a lot longer and more. Yeah. And that's another
pluck.
One. Keep your
pluck.
Keep. Yeah. As soon as you have the one long, it catches the sun, and everybody's just like, no. So a nose hair trimmer. Nose hair. I've always been cognizant of it because I'm a tall guy. So looking up there. So whatever. But then the ear hair, there was like, it was over the course of like a year. It went from like, this is not ever a concern, to like, I need to like stay on top of this.
Yeah. That's really good advice. It looks bad to see a guy with those hairs coming out. It's like all I can look at then when I'm talking to him.
Yes.
I'm like, just stop.
And they wave back and forth as you breathe in and out.
Oh, man.
What have we turned this podcast into?
It's like, I don't know. This is YouTube. Cats and beauty. Cat channels and beauty channels.
Actually, to speak very specifically of YouTube, I sent you that video about, we should start like linking the videos or making show notes or taking this seriously. Perhaps that is a goal for us. The fall of short form content.
Oh, yeah.
And it was by a really small relatively small YouTuber named Rafiti, I think his name was. He has about 6,000 subscribers.
Really well made video, though.
Really well made video. Obviously, someone who knows how to make good videos, and released this about 4 weeks ago, and it has like 160 or 170,000 views. Done very well. Generated an interesting conversation about the fall of short form content, and it seems like we were on this podcast talking about like, oh wow, everybody needs to move to, and we are already talking about the other side of.
So explain what he, how he described that, the fall of short form content.
In a nutshell, it's very hard to monetize short form content. Facebook / Instagram just recently retracted their Reels fund or whatever it was that they were paying for short form content because advertisers are not interested in that form of content right now, or at least it's not as much as they are in other forms of content. And so therefore, and it's hard to monetize something which is 30 seconds long. How do you get a 3 second? And ultimately, and this is what I took away from it, because he didn't necessarily say this, but I believe the people who you consume the most TikToks are probably not people who are interested in purchasing products or like using it to get some kind of like fulfillment at the store later, if that makes sense.
Right. So the question is short form content going to go the way of Vine, where Vine, I think was kind of probably overextended financially. They couldn't really find a way to monetize that either. I'm sure is probably part of the problem. But nobody really came in to fill up that space. So it makes me wonder, was there really a need for 6 second videos? And is there really this need now for short form content in the way it exists on TikTok, which is just endless scrolling?
In a weird way, it just became a very interesting add-on to YouTube.
It did. It's like they have stories on YouTube. I'll bet you 9 out of 10 people don't even realize you can have stories.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Or maybe Shorts ends up kind of becoming what that looks like or whatever. And you see John Peters was on the show, releases a short form video, which ends up getting a completely different trajectory and whatnot. So I think you are just going to find creators not needing to just put themselves in the space of like, I'm just a short form creator. In the downfall of TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
Is more so, I think, maybe what we're talking about here, because that's all they had. They were a one-trick pony. They didn't have the ability to build or whatnot. And I've noticed over the past few months, at least, versus the past few years, where like news stories don't necessarily drop the TikTok reference as much as they used
to.
Or like
used to talk about their like source.
It used to be a thing, right? It used to be like, oh, and there was a TikTok about, and now it's just like they'll again go back to calling it a video. Now everybody's just assuming if you want to go and see whatever the latest viral video is, you're gonna go to YouTube because now they have the short form too. So if it's the short form you're interested, it's like the Snapchat thing. It ended up being a really good addition to Instagram as opposed to a good standalone product. And I see the kind of the same thing happening. And YouTube played it chef's kiss to YouTube. If that's the way that they actually were, whatever, we'll do it really quickly. We'll throw money at it. We'll get all of this young talent who's hot. And then when they get here, they'll realize the value. And that was the point of the video, the fall of short form content. The end point is creators will just create both forms of content. You will find how to use that form of content as opposed to using that form of content to figure out how to build an audience, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and a couple of points he made in that video also that were interesting is one, that there was some executive at Instagram, I don't remember which one it was, who said he would like to get back to posting more photos on Instagram. And I thought that was kind of a telling. And this wasn't just like some guy at Instagram. This is one of the executives. I don't know, it was the COO or one of these guys. And so even Instagram itself might be thinking, wow, maybe this as a video platform isn't as all it's cracked up to be. And the second thing he mentioned was that people on YouTube are following channels because they make shorts. You become a short content creator, or you're known for your long format in a lot of cases. And it can be very difficult when you start making short form, when that's where you start on YouTube making short form. It's very difficult to transition to long form content. And I was thinking, a while back ago, I discovered Fredo on TV. I think I mentioned him to you. They're really funny. And he came from TikTok, puts up his shorts on YouTube. They're hilarious. I mean, I just love these. But he started posting long form content. Long form, I'm talking 7-8 minutes. And I look at it and I think, I don't want to watch that. And I can tell the views on those, he'll get like, 2,000 views or something. Nobody is interested in his long form content. And I honestly haven't seen any of them, because I know this is what I know him for, is these short little reaction video things that he does that are very funny. And I don't need his long take on something, I guess. And so I think that's a real trap that especially YouTubers should be aware of if they're really heavy. I think for somebody like me or somebody who's been around a while, if you go that direction, experimenting with shorts, it's probably not as damaging. You'll probably have some people who want to follow you for the shorts, but not in the way of this huge numbers of people coming from Instagram and TikTok and just setting up shorts on YouTube.
And maybe it won't, like in a couple of years, I'm sure it won't even be kind of seen as like, oh, this is my short form content because it's less than a minute. And this is my long, like, it really seems like this was a bunch of words that were thrust upon us anyways.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, YouTube wins, because from a creator standpoint, I would much rather have my short form content be on the platform where I can also diversify my content offerings without having to send people to another platform.
Yeah.
And the longer and the bigger you get on TikTok, I think of Vanessa from Girl with Dogs, where it's like, she had millions of whatever. She kept doubling down, seemingly, doubling down on YouTube. And now she has a platform on YouTube to be like, go find me on YouTube. Well, like, go find me on TikTok if you want, because that's fine. But go find me on YouTube, because the people who are finding people now on YouTube are like, I'm searching for a creator. I'm not searching for just short form content. I would love to hear if a creator did have short form content, but I want it in the same place that I'm getting their long form content.
Mm-hmm.
And I want it in the same place that I'm, so instead of running off to Reels to post a Reel and then TikTok to post your TikTok and then, hey, go follow me over here, YouTube is just making it more of a turnkey.
YouTube wants to be the Amazon of content creation. So that's why they're kind of promoting the podcasts now. They're kind of doing this short, this soft release of that. But I have a feeling they're going to probably double down on that pretty soon. So they got all these things that are available individually on other platforms, and they're just bringing it all into one place, so you don't have to
the community tab became like the Twitter feed. You have the shorts and the stories like you mentioned. And then it's becoming one URL in one place, which is inviting everybody, giving the best payoffs. And just you wait, and I have no inside real information on this, but I can only imagine once a messaging or interactive kind of mailing system between brands and creators and cutting out agencies, managers, and data. You literally just log into your account and brands can directly be like, here's what our offer is, and data. Like, and brands
can have that. They called it like Brand Direct or something. I forget what it was.
Yeah.
They bought
just too early.
Yeah,
it is a great idea. It's exactly what people want. If you want to make a course, you don't want to go off to Kajabi or some other place to, and then you have to be, guys, go check out my course. My course is at mycourseoverhere.com. And if you go over there right now, you're like off the platform, as opposed to, hey guys, you want to see my shorts? You click on this tab. If you want to subscribe to my whatever, my membership program and all of the rest. So yeah, they wrapped it all up in a box, and TikTok, I believe, is going to be flapping in the wind a la Vine in the not too distant future.
And here's something I would like everybody listening to this podcast to test out and on their phone, is to see, Is this something I've been noticing recently is that when I go to my home feed on YouTube, the first video shown there is a vertical format, not a short, but a longer form, 3 or 4 minute video in vertical format. And I'm seeing more and more of that. And I'm kind of wondering if whenever I see something like that cropping up, I know YouTube is testing it. And I may be just one of these people that's kind of in this test to see how I react to that or something. But I kind of wonder if maybe they're saying, maybe it's not the length of the video, but it's the format that people are really attracted to.
The last time I saw them do this, they were doing the live kind of like if the video was on this, a la Facebook, if the video was kind of on the screen, they would start kind of pre-rolling the video and stuff like that. And I remember seeing that being rolled out again in the search results. And now I've seen this, and it is vertical video, but it's not 9:16. It's not huge.
Yeah.
It seems to be like 4:05, which is...
It's like, is it that...
Just a, yeah, it's just a little bit more rectangle than square, if that makes sense, but not as like dramatic as 9, quote-unquote, 9:16 is. And there does seem to be a newer focus or interest or like thrust behind long form content. And further to your earlier points of the Instagram person, I've noticed just posting funny memes and pictures is getting so much more traffic than these reels, which used to be almost artificially, and I'm sure they were artificially throttled in this, where they were throwing all of the views.
Maybe Instagram is testing photos. It seems like a weird thing for them to test, but maybe they
are. Strange. Yeah. But I mean, I thought it was kind of like just a quirky thing that a few people were talking about like a year ago. It was like, no one posts pictures. Wouldn't it be cool if we got back to pictures?
I like it when somebody posts a picture where, you know, I don't know what you call those posts where you can post like 5 or 6 in one post. And, you know, I like scrolling through that and seeing like a band or something posts pictures of where what they're doing. And you can just like scroll through a few of those. And I enjoy that a lot. I don't necessarily have to have video of everything.
You know what I also don't like? When something's kind of like an internet thing or like a social media thing, so everybody fucking does the internet social thing. Yeah. Like I got it with the water bucket challenge, and perhaps like every so often I get that there's some things which it does make a difference and charitable, but the ones who just like do like the ridiculous chat, and now I'm following a company and these companies are doing challenges.
That's the embarrassing thing is when the companies
you're just chasing views.
It's like when Ellen DeGeneres gets involved in a meme, you know, it's dead, you know.
It's when Hillary Clinton's doing it on the Ellen DeGeneres show.
Pokemon Go to the polls. Do you remember that? That destroyed her campaign.
I don't know if it was that, but
that was pretty bad.
That was a major contributor. My gosh, she ended up being so unlikable at a time that all she just needed to be was likable.
So would you pay $12 for an Instagram blue check? This is $12 a month. That they are, I guess.
I would.
Are they proposing it, or is that happening now? I'm not really sure because I've had the blue check. I don't know.
You have been blessed.
I hope they don't make me retroactively like pay or start having to pay to keep it.
They're like, you have been
you've had it this
long.
We
blue checked you back then. So you can hear the calculator.
But I don't even really understand. I guess there's some value to that, you know, so you can tell that it's a legit account.
We have to stop bots. I mean, literally, I was on this podcast the other day talking about literally just purchasing 2,000, and I set up a cat account and it has 10,000 followers on it and it cost me $75. So let me tell you, everybody who looks at an account with, they have 16,000 Instagram followers. So there must be some value associated with it.
Yeah.
I assure you, you can get 10,000 followers overnight and no one will know the difference and no one cares. No one's going and
clicking. But I guess it begs the question of that, wouldn't the scammers be willing to pay $12 a month?
No, because you'd have to do it for each individual account.
Oh, I see. That's a bunch of
accounts. That's the rub. Yeah. It makes it be affordable enough for someone to be like, and that's why my instant answer was yes, I plan on using it for art purposes down the line. So I actually have a larger kind of goal with that. So yes, I would. Twitter, obviously not.
Yeah.
Train wreck of a platform over there. But yeah, no, there's no interest over there. And if YouTube did, and maybe YouTube will get to that, it's the best way to combat bots and spam. Just make it where it's like a fingerprint. I am a human. So therefore, if I am subscribed to you, I have clearly more value than this fucking ridiculous number that everybody throws around in aggregate, as opposed to like,
yeah.
We've talked about it before, like knowing your real audience, the actual people behind the numbers. And this will help that.
But I think a lot of people will, especially younger people, have it just because they see it as a, I don't know, thing you got to have. Maybe, or I guess the thought is also, if you don't have that, if you haven't paid for it, Instagram might throttle your stuff even more than it does.
Do I get it in perpetuity? Like, am I allowed to always be the Chad Reynolds? Like, can I hold it back from future Chad Reynoldses? Mm. That's the question. What happens after I'm done with it?
Mm-hmm. Oh, right.
I don't
know. Yeah. What happens if you...
Like once I die, does the blue check go away because you just didn't pay?
It becomes a black check.
Oh.
Everybody, we have all these black checks. This is a dead account from a dead person. If I could time my death, I would like pre-program like to have a bunch of posts released after my death, you know? And then I would be like, oh, this is the ghost of Steve. I have a...
That's a really good idea. There's people who have done that. Actually, I saw something trending. What the heck does that mean? I saw something on Reddit the other day, and it was about someone in 2013.
Oh, I saw that. Did you send that to me, or did I just happen to see it too?
Either we saw the same thing.
So.
It was actually a pretty. Yeah. It was very interesting. 10 years ago, when he was 16 years old, a guy scheduled a video to be released on the I think it was a Monday or something like that in 2023.
Yeah.
And then he, at 26, got to see a video.
Yeah, that was kind of cool. It didn't go where I hoped it was going to go. I thought it was actually going to, like, at the end of it, show him as the how he is now at 26 years old. But it was just that video that he released.
But that would then, yes, and that would end up not.
But then it would
be impossible because right. He wouldn't have been able to record it.
Because he scheduled it. I think that's pretty funny, though. But then I went to his channel, and it's a gaming channel. I mean, I never saw any other pictures of him, so I don't know what he looks like now. So I don't know.
And you know what? It probably would have worked 10 years ago. I don't think in 10 years from now, like a scheduled video is going to be released in the same way to the same type of fanfare.
I do get sucked into these videos of somebody who takes a picture of themselves every day for 55 years or whatever, you know. Those
have you ever thought about doing it?
Yeah,
just like instantly be like, I'd never
do it. I did
it
for a year on my second channel, and but 1 year when you're already middle aged doesn't make any difference. So
I remember the ones that used to be very popular. It was like teenagers or like younger people, and you'd see like but when it's a guy who's, hey, look, he's great old, you know, day 365 he was great old.
Hey, tomorrow is the 420 day, you know, this is the stoner holiday.
It is. How is one supposed to celebrate 420?
Well, see, this is what I don't understand about 420. Here's a fun fact about 420 is it started right here where I live. And it's in San Rafael High School. The kids started it there years ago because they would meet after school at 420 to just get smoke weed, I guess. And so that's where it all started, was San Rafael High School. And so they're really known for that. I'm not sure if the school itself really leans into that, like puts up big banners or anything, or has like the 420 dance, or I kind of don't think it's sanctioned by the school or anything, but but that's the thing. But I always think it's funny that people make a big fuss out of the 420. Yeah, we're going to have I'm like, the people who are really into that are people who are probably smoking weed every day anyways. So
yeah.
It's not like you really need an excuse to smoke weed.
I never knew that. I'm glad you brought this up. I never knew the history. Yeah, a group of California teenagers ritualistically smoked marijuana every day at 420.
Yeah, San Rafael.
And 420 just became
another fun fact. You can always tell people from out of town because they say San Rafael. That's not how you pronounce it. It's San Rafael.
And then as you cover it with 9 ways to celebrate 420. You
can
watch
stoned,
a stoner
get
movie.
Stoned, get stoned.
Learn a new recipe. Explore your creative side. So it's basically things that you can do after you
things that you would do every other do day something. Anyways if you are a stoner.
Yeah, like a stoner. No, today I'm
this is the one day a year I'm gonna smoke weed.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just think that's a funny thing how that's become such a thing. 420 is like code. It shows up in like dating profiles. They'll say like 420 friendly or something like that.
Yeah. It's like, do we still need to like code word it at this point? It's legal everywhere.
You don't have to do that. I was always funny when kids have like these drinking games, you know? Like, then you get old enough where you're like, I don't really need a game. If I want to drink, I'm just going to drink.
Yeah, I'll just drink. It's a whole bunch of excess energy and patience I don't have. We're quickly approaching our 100th podcast. And
that's
I said this before. I think this is 94?
I think so.
94. So we're six away. So it's about 6 weeks from now. Which actually is in around VidCon.
Yeah.
My gosh.
Well, so we'll have to do it at VidCon. That'll be fun. We can have a whole bunch of people come in and join us. We'll have Mr. Beast on the show.
Do you think we should guarantee Mr. Beast?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see.
We'll
see if he's right for the show or not. You know, we'll have to vet him.
I wonder if Mr. Beast gets questions sent to him before an interview to see or whatever. If he's just like, no, bring it on. I mean, I'm sure he's been asked everything at this point. He's been on everything.
Yeah.
Everything.
He's so media savvy. He knows how to answer every question ever thrown to him.
Elon Musk follows him on Twitter and like interact. Like, not saying that that's like some whatever, but like he moves in different circles.
It's a crazy story. It really is. It's a crazy story about how this
And there
kid...
will never be another, as in he will not be the aspiration in 5 years. Like, mm-hmm. it'll be something different. It'll be something whatever. Like, he will be the only guy, in my estimation, who is, like, just crazy.
Yeah.
YouTube, like, from the most early, authentic, organic, just a kid who wanted to do YouTube, to realizing that like once kind of something gets going and keep doubling down on it, make it bigger. And like he personifies clickbait and he personifies mm-hmm. like the, just like that whole YouTuber image that
everybody's copying.
You know what? Almost that PewDiePie had for the decade before, where everybody was like, a YouTuber quote unquote is like a guy playing video games. And now it's become a YouTuber is a guy who gives away 100 Lamborghinis mm-hmm. in a video or something, or like, you know, does some big grandiose kind of like thing. And I, like, it's funny because there's some other YouTubers out there. I don't remember their names. They're the young people who sometimes pop up on trending. They all have the same face as Mr. Beast. They all do the exact same kind of like engagement. I gave a Ferrari to my friend. If you stand in the circle for 5 minutes and I'll give you $100 billion. Like, right, it's just the same thing. I can't see how like someone's going to come and then just like be the next Mr. Beast. It's going to be clearly
well, see, I think Mr. Beast is the transition from YouTuber to AI, because he's basically AI at this point, because I think that
that's a really good point.
The content he makes is almost, I think, an amalgamation of what AI would come up with. He so diligently looks at the analytics and knows like every single second of that video, how to keep people engaged, what they're engaged in, what they're responding to. And so I have a feeling that every one of those videos is crafted in such a way that, you know, at this point we got to put in a bunch of dollar signs. We spent $2,000 on this board and then we had to spend another, and then the pacing on that, it's going to lead to this is the format that AI is going to take. That's why it's hard for me to watch his videos, because I can't see through
that's
the way that those are crafted as much as the content itself.
That is the one thing that I don't like about Mr. Beast anymore. That was really great for a while. And I still actually really love about PewDiePie, because he still kind of always seems to just be
a little edgy.
Now that Mr. Beast is in a position where he really could do anything, the fact that he keeps doubling down on the exact same thing is kind of telling. Like his the picture that he uses in his thumbnails, legit, like he understands that like every single angle of like whatever, and I'm sure he understands the colors and the saturation. It's like such a, to your point, like he knows this. So he like just personifies doing everything to that level, regardless of whether it's like quality content or not. And I think that's part of the backlash that he's getting now, is like people are calling him out for like, dude, like you reached the mountaintop, like now's your time to like
be authentic.
Actually, yeah. Try to do something at this place. Like, if this is it, that's fine. But it's not coming across that way. It's coming across like you're just looking for the next thing to get. Like, oh, it needs to get 100 million views in the first 20. And that's just kind of what it's becoming with mm-hmm. him. Because when he talks about his past videos, he'll be like, oh yeah, well this one got 90 million. Like he operates like every other YouTuber. It's just like right at the very top of the mountain.
Yeah. Yeah, I wonder how long his reign will last. It's been interesting over the years to see how, like, the top YouTubers change. I mean, we had Michael Buckley on, who was the top YouTuber for a short time in the very early, and that doesn't even compare to what Mr. Beast is doing. And then, of course, we had Smosh was huge. And again, those two guys, Anthony and Ian, had this kind of regular guy relatability to them, you know. Yeah. And PewDiePie, of course, for a long time was number one on the platform, also had this relatability, was enough edginess to actually get him into some trouble and some misunderstandings and right. all this stuff. But Mr. Beast seems like the kind of guy that has everything so well crafted that I can't really see through to the actual person.
And now there's a whole team. We all know that
huge,
is. And now people like use his brand as a brand, and he's allowed that, and that's made him a lot of money and very successful and all of the rest. However, it feels like PewDiePie's managed to do the same thing, but in a much more, like, he seems to be a dude who's now living in, you know.
Is PewDiePie
in Japan
in the conversation anymore? It seems like I just don't hear.
I mean,
about
he
him.
Is because he has 130 million subscribers. He still uploads as often as he does, but he's like he's just doing the types of videos that he seems to be wanting to do. He does a lot with his friends and other whatever. And sometimes he just sits down and is like, hey guys, and da da da. Like, it's always come across as, and Mr. Beast used to be like
yeah.
that. Most of these people, Ray William Johnson yeah. started in his apartment. Michael Buckley started in his mm-hmm. His apartment with a backdrop and was the first guy to put a jacket on and kind of like do yeah. like a quote unquote show on the internet. So it was all coming from people. Smosh were kids. I was that kid too. I wanted
bed.
To just
yeah
and uploading crazy videos on the YouTube. We started as a cleaning channel, and like people were like, wow, these videos are like fun. And it was just fun because it was like, wow, you people are liking this. And it seems with Mr. Beast, it's like, wow, look how many people can do something if I do this.
It
and
feels but
like, ah!
The presentation, in a way, this will sound weird, feels very corporate to me. I know that's not, it might be hard to kind of explain that, but for me it sort of feels like this is,
yeah,
it's not off. It's off a little.
Jimmy's not pressing the upload button. He's not picking
right.
the thumbnail. He's literally getting his notes. He's moving into the thing, and that's it. Like, other people are like, everyone's just sponging, and we'll get them on the video, and then they put his one image in their thumbnail so they can. It's like he's a spectacle. Like, it's yeah. just this brand, like you said. Like, it's a big corporate entity.
God, he's so
and
young.
It's not like this guy.
Where is this going to be just in 10 years from now? I can't even imagine if he stays on this trajectory. Well,
if we only
he'll
had
he'll be the first YouTube billionaire.
Well, I'm going to try my best, but I think he has a pretty good head start.
Oh, wow.
I think we're going to see a return to organic long form content. That was also mentioned in that video, by the way. Just
right.
the interest in the content serving the purpose as opposed to the purpose being served by the, you know, amount of time within the content.
I should probably look. I don't really know who kind of the up and coming YouTubers are right now. Usually I try to stay kind of up on that, but I'm really.
Like, who's like, or even what's being like, how is the space being? Because I'm still stuck in the space of like gardening with Kevin Espiritu mm-hmm. or woodworking with yourself, or like
yeah.
the not the skills and arts and crafts part of it, but like that maker. I guess I'm in the maker crowd,
yeah.
so like I'm interested in that kind of stuff. I see what's on trending, obviously, music videos are always huge, or anything music related gets a lot of traction. Mm-hmm. But further to my earlier point, everything else is Mr. Beast or a copy of Mr. Beast. It's there's a lot of I went to this store and you won't believe. That's kind of the clickbait that seems to be working right now. I did this thing and this is what happened.
You remember we tried to get Aquarium Info on the show a
yes.
while back, and she does, and I don't think it's just the one girl. I think she also has a big team behind her. But I thought that would be kind of interesting to talk about the fish tanks that she makes in all of this. But wow, she is just heavily copying Mr. Beast, and it's working because her videos will end up in the trending tab also. And but she follows that exact same formula of like, oh my God, we're going to run, and kind of talks to the audience like children in a way. And I think a lot of her audience is probably children, but she will say, oh, we're running out of time. I don't know what we're going to do if yeah. we can't finish this. And then races, I needed to get a new glass for the tank and you wouldn't believe how much it costs. And then it flashes up the number, the dollar signs on the screen. And I've spent over $3,000 on this. Can you believe that? And it's this whole patter that kind of Mr. Beast does, the same visual style, the same way that it flashes on the screen really, really fast and progresses through. And can you pick out these three things that are hidden throughout the video and trying to just this ultra engagement, trying to keep people glued to that screen for the entire video.
It's almost like Mr. Beast is trying to copy Mr. Beast now. It's almost like he's become a meme of himself in the sense that like it is, it's just pushing the like, it really is coming down to just a click or a view or whatnot. So like, does it matter? If this video was written by a human or by like AI just specifically designed yeah. to know all the analytics. And that's some of the companies that'll take your content and chop it up and put it on Facebook and make Facebook specific videos out of YouTube videos, which is a pretty popular thing now. The analytics and the understanding of what works, especially on a platform like Facebook, where the first 3 seconds of the video are literally the most important thing because they just start auto-playing on the thing and da-da-da-da. So they were, we were having a conversation with one of the companies that does this, takes the content and repurposes it.
It's like the one I use.
Facebook.
I use that Vuv.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's right. And there's many companies who do this yeah. kind of thing. It's a very popular thing now with literally standalone companies that'll work with content creators who don't have enough time to re-edit their content for specific platforms. And for Facebook, you need to like really get all your good stuff. So one of the things that they said is we take a clip from like the most exciting clip from the inside of the video. We put it on the first 3 seconds. Mm-hmm. And that way we know we're going to get people who be more interested with the most da, 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 da. And then they're like, and then we also take this and we do this kind of shot and then we follow it up with this and then we try to do a cut within three, and they were doing all this stuff with all these analytics and I'm sure it was backed by whatever, and I don't think they're talking to kids. I think they just think that people are fucking stupid and that like it works because, well, maybe sadly a lot of people are stupid but and whatever, maybe I'm just the same way as well, like I get why it works, but it to go back to like, it really, it's just AI. You're just looking at analytics mm-hmm. of like, most people do this if you do this. And if this is red and placed over here, most people will probably like it. So everybody's like, great, it's red and it's over here. My faces look like this.
Yeah, exactly.
And like this. And it needs to be on this angle and it needs to be this big and it needs to have a drop shadow with and it needs to be rainbow colors because that's what grabs people's attention and da da da. And outside of once you get there, I get why you want to get people there. You don't have anything to offer them. You're just offering them, it's a big money. Look, lots of money. And that's my gripe with Mr. Beast. Now's your opportunity to be like, oh, guys, you're here because I know how to clickbait you into something really good. Excellent. Let's go to this village and feed some hungry children
yeah,
and not make a thing out of it
yeah.
and not flash money in their face. But I'm actually going to figure out how to like undo some of the negative stuff that I've helped
kind of not helped, but like contributed to in a way of sensationalism, and especially after the backlash of the blind thing. It's like, dude, here's an awesome opportunity for you to like just get
everything
behind something.
Just rolls off his back. Any kind of controversy with Mr. Beast is very short lived
because he's not real. He's literally
he's AI.
He is AI.
Yeah.
Ah, oh, Steve.
Yeah, I think this is what AI would have created. He's like a robot. The robots are taking over.
The one thing I like about this podcast is it would never be able to be recreated by AI.
That's true.
It was also mentioned in that fall of short form content that the biggest opportunity for creators right now is podcasts.
Yeah,
I think that's kind of interesting because he mentioned that like if you were to have a nickel on the table and that were to represent you as a podcast, you as a YouTube channel, I believe, would be 100 nickels.
Yeah,
on that table with you still being the one nickel. So
yeah, he said there's like 42 million active YouTube channels and there's like 500,000 active podcasts.
And did you hear what the definition of active is? You've released one episode in the past year. So to like be like probably like super active as in like maybe once a month or once every other week or something like that. Yeah, you're looking at such a small, and it's funny that we, all of the people that we've had who have had their own podcast or whatever, love it for that exact same reason. Cause it's finally that place that you don't have to be on. You don't have to like worry. Like this is the reason why it's a great space is because you can just, you can talk. There is no AI involved in it.
Why do you think podcast is kind of coming in its own right now? When they've been around since like 2006, seven. I mean, there's nothing new about podcasting, but it's only in the last couple of years. Maybe it was a pandemic. I mean, we kind of jumped on that bandwagon ourselves, but there seems to be so much interest in podcasts right now.
I find a lot of YouTube creators especially get really like that becomes something other than the outlet that they maybe originally thought it was going to be. I can only speak for myself, so I'll stop putting all other creators out there. It became, it's become something where it's like it has gotten away from the compulsions of why we used to make content, and now it's very, very obvious that it's about making money and producing views and all of the rest. And here in podcast
nobody can make money.
You can't like, you can't dislike, and there's no money to be made. Yeah. However, his point was that's where a lot of sponsorships opportunities are going to be, because you and your 30-second cat video on TikTok does my face moisturizer no good. You having a podcast where you talk about a whole bunch of things and then you literally have a 2-minute bit where you did this off the cuff kind of thing, and it's just you and you're talking and you're comfortable and you're not in your YouTube space, you're not in your TikTok space, you're not your content creator. So that's the reason why we liked this, wanted to do this podcast.
Yeah.
Wow, we can actually just come here and talk and be ourselves and not have to worry about what other people want.
But I'll take a sponsorship from Neutrogena or something, you know. They show
info
up.
At chadandsteve.com.
Wait, I'm not sure if anybody checks that email or not.
It's a good point. We should check.
We'll have our team look in on that.
Yeah, do you our team.
All right. Hey, thanks for listening, everybody.